Coming up on today's episode, we break down the Jets' OT win over the Habs, plus what's next after Ville Heinola's agent speaks out.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon underscore Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. Ole, 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 ole. That's, you know, it sucks. It's an awful chant to hear when it's going against you, but I love when any team beats Montreal and you get to throw the Olays right back at them. Why don't we go into the weekend with a little bit of style there, thanks to KFC. The Winnipeg Jets open up a crucial four-game stretch here before American Thanksgiving with a big OT victory over the Canadiens. We'll break it all down here. First off, a hi to CJOB's Tyson Rewicki joining us once again. Tice, you a fan of the Olé Olé chants? What's your take on that?
Love them. It's such a simple chant. I don't even know what Olé means, but I just love it so much.
Isn't it just go?
Probably.
Right?
I have no idea. You're talking to a guy who took 8 years of French in elementary school and probably retained just the colors.
That's good. I always thought it was Spanish. It turns out it is Spanish, so it doesn't even make sense. We're probably missing some very important context. So maybe I don't want to sound too stupid and say it's Spanish. The point is, you throw it back at the Habs fans when they're losing. They lost this one. They deserve to lose, so we can have a little bit of fun with them there. Montreal kind of looked the part of a cellar dweller. Suzuki had a hell of a play on that first goal for Montreal. But other than that, you know, him and Caulfield and, you know, flashes from some of the other guys on the team. Not a whole lot to get excited about Montreal's chances at being competitive this season. But fortunately for the Jets, they played their role in that, where they, I don't want to say dominated, but certainly carried the pace of play against Montreal. It was nowhere near what we saw out there on the road trip, specifically against LA and Vegas. And I thought to myself, if the Jets lost this game, it might be maybe karmic retribution for how they played and got the win against the Kings, and that they played pretty strongly against Montreal and might have ended up getting the loss. They didn't. A well-deserved goal in OT there. But, you know, all in all, I think a pretty impressive performance from the team. At the very least, it was much closer to the St. Louis game from a few days ago as opposed to some of the debacles that we saw over the weekend on the road.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. We talked about it last episode too, where we're like, these are the games that the Jets are supposed to win, and they came out and just gave out a really good effort against a team that they should beat, and they handled them pretty handily. There's always going to be takeaways in a game. The power play struggled a bit. The zone exits still aren't where they need to be, and I think we'll touch on that a little bit later when we talk about a certain someone who with a certain
agent,
a certain thing. But
yeah, keep some of the ammo in the chamber, Tice.
But yeah, I love the game that the Jets played today. They controlled play. They didn't give up too much. I really like their neutral zone play, not letting the Habs get started in the neutral zone. So honestly, can't hate on the Jets' performance this today.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we were talking about this before. It was like kind of a boring game, and in all honesty, the most exciting thing that happened today was something that didn't even take place with the NHL club. It was comments that we got to get to down there in the AHL. I always wanted to open the show with that one, but we got a game to break down first. But again, with the Jets, sometimes it's okay to have a boring, borderline dominant performance, because this team has their fair share of woes inside their own half of the ice. So being, you know, professionally strong and taking care of the opposition. And this one, you know, sometimes boring isn't the worst thing in the world for this club. For me, two big positives stood out. The most obvious one being, the final play of the game. And finally, you know, the monkey off the back, the bucket off the shelf, KFC, the Colonel, does declare that his goal-scoring slump is officially a thing of the past. I mean, you know, I was asked about this on Winnipeg Sports Talk earlier on Thursday. Is there any concern about Connor's scoring slump to start the year? I said literally zero concern. This is what goal scorers do throughout the course of seasons. Auston Matthews last year had, what, a goal through six games or whatever it was. To start the year, he ends up with 60-plus. It just happens. It's more of a talking point because we don't have as many games to look back on, right? If this happens in games 52 to 58, nobody says lick, right? But because it's the start of the year, it's a bit of a talking point. But the chances have been there for KFC all season long. He just, you know, hasn't gotten any luck to go his way so far. And it's funny, too, because specifically, there were a chance in the second and the third period. The third period one was the big one, all alone in front of Montembeau, a below average, maybe AHL-level goalie. And it's like, bar down, game over. This is where Kyle Connor ends it here. And he kind of flubs it. And you're like, oh, maybe he won't score again. Like, there's obviously a bit of a confidence issue that he gets the puck at OT and we can laugh about it. There's no worries. He's going to be just fine moving forward, right? Like, no more concern?
Yeah, I agree with that. And even this whole game, you could see him that he was really pressing. You could feel, especially in that overtime period, you could feel that he was really working his way towards finding the back of the net there. And like, he's, I mean, Matt Montembeau, like you said, he's a AHL goalie. He played not bad today, though. He got really lucky on a couple saves with the knob of his stick.
Shifley almost blew him into the second row.
But he made a lot of big saves in that game. But it's nice to see him finally pot one, and I think we really start to see the floodgates open with Kyle Connor because he's been putting himself in some really good positions to get to those high danger scoring chances. And I think now that they're going to start to just flow in for that line.
He was the league leader going into this game for expected goals below average. Like, he's been expected to score, I think, four more goals than he actually has so far. So he hasn't gotten any breaks. It was bound to come. The main thing with goal scorers, and it's always this, is are you getting your chances, right? Like, are you shooting? Are pucks getting on net? Are you in the right spots? Are chances flowing? They have been for him all season long. It was just a matter of time. Interestingly, you know, the one thing I do have some concerns about, not so much about Connor. You talked on the power play struggling, one goal on, I believe, five, six. I mean, they were one for five after 40 minutes. Not really smooth with the first unit. The second unit, I thought Cole Perfetti in particular was able to set up a couple really glorious chances for the man advantage there. You know, I might feel a little bit better about how they're playing right now. But the first unit may be a little too dependent and telegraphic with we're setting up Kyle Connor for the one-timer and away we go. Like, Ovi can do that, and that's probably it. But because he's superhuman. But any other high-end goal scorer, if you telegraph and you're so deliberate with what you're trying to do, you know, most teams are going to be able to find a way to either block the shot or the goalie's going to get over there in time to make the save. So that's just kind of the one thing with Connor in his chase for 40 plus again is going to be with the power play. Can they be a little more deceptive in terms of setting things up and trying to get him better looks out there on the top of the circle? So Connor was the obvious takeaway in this one. But to me, and maybe the more important one moving forward for the Jets is we finally got to see power forward PLD in action here. I mean, that was a vintage performance. I mean, going back to last year, but it was a 2021 performance from Dubois in this one. I thought he was a force all night long. Maybe the Jets' best forward in this one. I mean, the goal itself is kind of a great example of that, where it's like, screw this. Let's just walk into the slot and rip one. Like, enough with the passing. Let's just shoot the puck hard and see what happens. And he ends up scoring there. But it was a few net drives where it's just, look, remember that you're 6'3", 220, and you're just as fast as anybody out there, and use that to your advantage. Like, it's just a little more meat and potatoes instead of a five-star Michelin dish. I think that did Dubois well here. Coincidence at all it happened against Montreal? Probably just a coincidence. But it happened against Montreal nonetheless. But I love PLD's game. Let's see more of that over the next couple of dozen of games for the Jets.
Yeah, 100%. And even, you know, with PLD's style of play and with his two wingers, those two guys aren't going to be the kind of guys who are going to be driving the net, jostling in front of the net for those pucks loose. And so, yeah, tonight, see PLD really, really bring the play towards the net himself was a really good sight to see for the Jets. And I think it's going to be a good thing moving forward. And I also love Cole Perfetti's play today, too. I thought he played a very good game as well.
Yeah, and with Dubois, it's kind of easy to forget this with goal scorers, but you know, on the power play last year and even 5-on-5, the majority of his goals came 2 feet from the net, right? Like, it's not he on pace for 30-ish in that range. It's not like he's, you know, he did it last night, but he's not ripping bar in shots from the top of the circle off the rush every time, right? Like, it's kind of greasy, ugly goals. And maybe it's just, hey, this could be a reminder or a refresher to him that let's get things done in and around the blue paint there. You can make a lot of money scoring a lot of ugly goals, right? You don't have to be highlighting Real McDavid all the time. If you get 35, hey, look at David Clarkson. I don't think he ever left the crease and he made himself $40 million, right? So if you're Pierre-Luc Dubois, just, you know, keep it a little more simpler. And I think his game of the Jets will start to trend in the right direction there. So that was great to see. Another minor positive for me. I don't know if anything else stood out to you, Tice, but I think Dylan Sandberg is continuing this slow upwards trajectory here. You know, had that really, really rough first period against LA, rough start to the year. Since then, though, I think it's been a steady climb upward. He made a great play, some great vision on the Wheeler goal, which was an awful challenge by Martin St. Louis, by the way. But great vision there to, you know, kind of hold on to the puck a little bit, throw it cross ice to Pierre-Luc Dubois, and then Wheeler bangs one in there. But I think he's been really, really solid. And again, I wouldn't mind seeing him get more responsibility thrown on his shoulders as the games start to pile along here.
Hit the nail on the head on that one. But yeah, and that Sandberg's just been, like you said, just steadily climbing up the ranks on this decor. And even that penalty that they gave him on the, I believe it.
I didn't think it was a penalty.
Yeah, no, he got the puck first. That's not a penalty. But you could tell that the refs were definitely looking for something to call on the Jets after kind of a second period full of power plays for the Jets. But yeah, Dylan Sandberg, he's a guy that's going to continue to build on his play. And I think he's going to be a big piece for the Jets moving forward.
So pretty much all positives for the Jets in this one. The lone negative for me, and I mean, we talked about it in our last episode going back to the Vegas game, but Neil Pionk is a little too chaotic for me right now. There's a little, it's kind of happening at both ends of the ice. We're seeing the offensive output that he had a few seasons ago, but we're also seeing the poor defensive play that we saw out of him last season. I mean, he almost gift wrapped, what was it, Suzuki on the power play. He just kind of like skates into the net. But yeah. I'm not loving the Pionk Morrissey top pairing right now. Again, they were near the bottom of the shot charts in terms of chances given up for the Jets against Montreal. And, you know, I just think he's being asked to do a little bit too much. And that's, again, the problem with this blue line, Tice, is I think Morrissey can acquit himself well on a top pair. I don't know if they have a guy that can play with him right now. I mean, I think Neil Pionk is best suited for a second pair. I think Dylan DeMello is best suited for a second or a third pair. That kind of applies to the rest of the defensemen on this roster, but there's nobody that Rick Bowness can kind of lean on right now and say, this is the guy I know I could put beside Josh Morrissey. And just, it's been a rough stretch. It's been a rough week and a half for Neil Pionk, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And like that turnover in the third, I don't know what he was doing. He skated into the net. Stuck right into the net. And that could have been, if that would have negated all the good that the Jets did in that game, just with that one turnover. Luckily, Hellebuck made a good play. There was some luck involved there too. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have been nice to see the Jets go after a guy like Mackenzie Weegar in the offseason, the staple on that top pair with Josh Morrissey. I think that would be a really nice top pair and really vault the Jets into one of the upper echelon there for playoff teams in the West.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, I can get down with a Mackenzie Weegar. I think even, I've said it for a while, I think even Jacob Chychrun, like, I'm willing to roll the dice. I don't know if he's a top pair guy. Like, I know he's played that role for Arizona. He had the one good shortened season. But I'm just willing to be aggressive here because this blue line, I think it can be all right. I think it could be good, but it's never going to be great with the personnel that they have right now. And I think it's time to take a bit of a swing. If you're Kevin Chevalier off, roll the dice, see what happens. If a guy like Chychrun's available, maybe he blossoms and he's that top pair guy that you've been looking for quite some time. So something to keep an eye on here. If there's continued struggles with Neil Pionk alongside Josh Morris, yeah, I wonder what Rick Bonus does there because he doesn't really have a whole lot of other options with the way that this blue line is situated right now. One thing I do want to touch on quickly, I've just always had a man crush on this guy. And it's funny because I think every hockey fan, this is something that I probably have just made up, but I think every hockey fan has a third liner that they think could be a first liner if he was given the opportunity and then played with like a couple high-end guys. You kind of get what I'm talking about? He's never going to be like a point-of-game guy, but it's like you put him up there and he's going to be good. Joel Armia is that guy for me. Like I love his game so much. He's so good with the puck. He's got such good skills. It blows my mind that he's not a 50, 60-point guy regularly, but he's a standout defensive player as well. I mean, hands-wise, he's as quick as anybody in terms of stick. Like I don't know. I just think he'd be, to me, he would be a perfect winger to pair with a guy like Kyle Connor, where you can like outweigh his defensive deficiencies with someone like Joel Armia. I don't know. Do you have a guy that like that, Tice? Maybe not Armia, but somebody where you're like, just give this dude a chance and he's going to help you out.
I do like Joel Armia. I agree with you. He's got some of the silkiest mitts in the NHL. I'm just trying to go through the teams here and just thinking. He's kind of getting a chance now in Ottawa, but Shane Pinto, he started off on the third line with the Josh Norris injury. He got moved up, but I love Shane Pinto's game. I think he's going to be a really good player. But and it's kind of early to pin him that he's just a third liner who deserves a chance on the first line. But I almost do kind of see him in that role as his career kind of blossoms. I think he's more suited in that middle six role, but he could also excel playing with players that fit his skill set as well. But yeah, Shane Pinto from Ottawa, I'm looking forward to watching him play in the coming years.
Interesting choice. All right, I can get down with that. Well, that'll be the end of the recap for the Jets' victory against the Habs. They'll look to make it another back-to-back win at home Saturday afternoon against Chicago. So we'll take a look at that one a little bit later on, break down that game coming up next week. But we do have some explosive comments from Jets Nation as one of the highly touted prospects has started to make waves. What's going to happen? Another trade request? Please don't make it happen. We'll get to all of that in just a sec. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. And that big time deal to get you big time dough is still on tap for you to take advantage of. If you want to make a couple of bucks before you go out for the weekend, maybe you want to sprinkle a little dough on the Jets taking care of business Saturday afternoon at home against Chicago. Finding a way to pot a cup, maybe a half dozen against Peter Mrazek. That might be a way for you to grab some extra bucks, and you can maybe throw in a couple of extra bets, small bets, and turn those into bigger payouts with same-game parlays as well. And a reminder that DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want, especially after you get a couple hundy with the newest promotion from DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $200 in free bets if they do. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for more details. So, a bit of a bomb dropped by the agent of Ville Heinola before puck drop Thursday night against Montreal for the Jets. Can't say I'm all that surprised, to be honest. If anything, I'm surprised it took this long for the kid, in a way, to finally come out and say that, yeah, you know what? Not down with what's going on here, and I think it's time for me to get a bit of a chance. But if you haven't seen it yet, Ville Heinola's agent, Alain Roy, had this to say. I can't even say when asked. He just went out and made these comments, I believe, to the hockey news about his clients opportunities so far, not getting the shot with the big club. And I'll paraphrase, but I'll kind of go through some of the main points here. And this was really the big one. I think everybody in hockey that has seen him play realizes he's now at that point where he has made an NHL regular expendable. Billy Hanila, of course. And now that's interesting because that might be the first time I've ever heard an agent demand a trade of somebody else on the team, but not his client. It's not a trade request by Billy Hanila. It's a request for somebody else to be traded. So it's not the Lion A Trouba situation. We have to worry. He doesn't want out of Winnipeg. He wants into Winnipeg just at the expense of somebody else. But Billy Hanila, of course, before the Moose season got underway, said, I've been in the same spot for a couple of years now, so it's definitely not fun, but kind of played the good soldier there. But now the agent coming out and saying essentially that, you know, my client wants a shot. We want to play some NHL games. This logjam needs to come to an end. And while confirming that there was no formal trade request being made, he did say at some point a decision has to be made because Hanila is going to stagnate and go backwards. I don't think it's backwards yet, but definitely frustration has set in, and that's never a good sign. Yikes. So no trade request yet, but this is basically the first step before a trade request becomes official. I've got some thoughts, Tice, but I'm intrigued to see what you have to say about this situation and if it mirrors what my sentiment is. So what were your thoughts when you saw Billy Hanila's agent come out and say, somebody's got to move here. It's either my client or somebody on the roster, but trades need to be made because somebody is pissed off about not getting playing time.
Yeah, I mean, and I this situation's getting hairier and hairier by the day, and these comments really cause concern for me because if this does happen and a trade is made to bring Hanila up, what does that do to the locker room on the inside when he moves up and they lose one of their friends, one of their teammates, one of their buddies? Because he
demanded, a vet too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And just because you demanded that, I got not you personally, but your agent requested that a player get moved so that you can get playing time. And that's part of the problem with this draft and develop scheme that the Jets have been running the past couple of years. It's great to draft and develop your guys, but you've got to play them at some point. Like, you can draft and develop all you want, but if they're sitting in the AHL not doing anything for your NHL club, then what good are they? And you're seeing the Jets in a point right now where their D is struggling, power play struggling, zone exits are struggling. One of Hanola's biggest strengths is his puck moving and his offensive zone play. I don't see why he shouldn't be up there. And if he's not going to be up there, then you got to move him because his value is not going up right now. He could do as good as he wants in the AHL. Teams are going to look at a guy and be like, what's up with your first round pick that you haven't played in 4 years? And then to... And how you say that you want to develop him in the AHL. Meanwhile, not to pick on a guy, but Logan Stanley, also a first rounder. What it really has he shown that Hanila that shows that he should be in the lineup above Hanila? I mean, he's got the broken foot right now, but I just don't. It's really going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But man, it's kind of trouble right now with involving Billy right now.
Yeah. So, I guess. There's a few different things for me on this. The first, I got to be honest, my first thought when this came out was I kind of said, good for him. Like, you know, he's got some money to make. Like, just like taking the Jets out of the equation here, he just wants a fair shot, right? And I think he, if you go back to training camp, he outperformed both Sandberg and Stan. Like, if you're going just based off performance, I think he earned a chance to get a handful of games in with the big club. It was just, you know, let's face it, Logan Stanley's waiver wire exempt contract that was the main decision between Billy Hanila going down and somebody else on the roster not taking his place. So I was kind of like, hey, you know what? He's got a finite chance to play professional hockey at the NHL level. He's got very little time to try and make some dough. And I think he's proven everything he can at the AHL level. You know, he didn't make a trade request, but it's kind of like, yeah, you know what? I'm not happy. And we got to do something about this. If you don't want to play me, please find me somebody else that will. So I kind of dug that from his side. It wasn't, you know, let's be a problem, but it's time for me to start making my voice heard a little bit there. So I kind of dug that from his side. But I'm kind of in the same ballpark as you, Tice. You know, this does still go back to this past offseason where this is all kind of this whole mess, if you want to call it that. I don't think it's a mess necessarily, but this whole situation is entirely Kevin Cheveldayoff's doing. I mean, you knew this was going to happen 3 months ago, where you had 8 to 9 NHL caliber ready defensemen, and people are going to get pissed off that they're not playing. And you already lost Johnny Kovacevic for nothing on waivers. So, I mean, there's one asset, not that he gets you back a second round pick or anything like that, but you already lose one player, a young player, right shot defenseman for nothing. And now you potentially run the risk of having a malcontent prospect and his leverage and his profile league-wide start to go down the drain a little bit because he's unhappy with the situation that he's been put in here. So I could understand Ville Heinola's side in all this. I think a lot of people would agree that he's not the bad guy in this situation. It's just when you have eight players scrambling and vying for six spots, there's going to be people that are unhappy about this. And I do believe now is the time for the Winnipeg Jets to kind of make an ultimatum decision on Ville Heinola and what you think he is, what he's going to be, all that. Because with this group of defensemen right now, if you think he is the eighth or ninth best D-man in your organization, then it's time to move on from him. You need help up front. You need a high-end guy on the back end, right? Like, there's teams out there, and I mean, we can figure out what the package is, all that. There's teams out there that right now would trade for Ville Heinola and put him in their top six, no questions asked. And they'd give up an asset, a pretty desirable one, to do that. So if you truly believe, if you're Jets management, that this guy is not better than Sandberg, Stanley, hell, Capobianco, now would be the time to make do and part ways and get something back from him. Because the longer this plays out, the more his worth is going to go down in the trade market. So it doesn't do the team and the player any good. If you don't think he's good enough, then cut bait and, you know what, try to make the best out of the situation that you find yourself in right now. But if you do think he can help your team right now and get somebody in and he can be a power play two tool, he can help with your team's exits out of your own zone, which you are struggling with right now, then hey, be aggressive. Don't be afraid. Go out there and make a move, right? Like, do something. But to me, inactivity is the cardinal sin that can hurt this club right now in this situation. Doing nothing, I think, really doesn't do anybody any good. I think it's time now that if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff, if you feel good about Ville, give the kid a shot. If you don't feel good about him, find another team that thinks they can. But doing nothing here is going to put this club in a rough spot. And I mean, this market is already precarious enough when it comes to guys that want to play here and things like that. And I think letting this linger as the season goes on and on and on, it doesn't do the club any favors here. It's just, let's make a decision. Let's stick with it. Let's be aggressive with our decision and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, no, 100%. And two, one thing though, with the Jets' D prospects too, after Heinola, it gets pretty shallow. If you're considering that Sandberg's graduated now to the club, after Ville, you're looking at Declan Chisholm, who I like Declan Chisholm, but it is just concerning that we're already just over 10 games into the season and the Jets have already lost one defenseman that they've drafted and developed and potentially could be moving a second one who was one of your first round picks.
It's just, well, here's the other thing as well, Tice, and this kind of goes back to my problem with the offseason as a whole. What's the plan with the blue line? Like, what's the plan? Like, what is the overarching vision for Kevin Cheveldayoff when he looks at his defense group? I don't know what it is, right? Like, they're obviously not trending towards letting the youth go out there and make mistakes and try to find their way and see if that goes with them. They're not really, you know, going all in on age and experience or anything like that. They're not trying to find some high-end talent to go out there with. It's just kind of like, let's throw these guys out there and see what we got. But I don't know. I look at what they have out there right now. It's just not going to be good enough. I don't think their blue line is good enough compared to some of the teams that might be ahead of them in the chase for a playoff spot. And so to me, it's just down to either you think Ville Heinola can fix this group or he's not good enough and you need to find somebody else that can come in here and provide a bit of a boost for the back end. It's just, again, to me, doing nothing here and just trying to slow play this and maybe trying to get a second round pick instead of a third round pick. This playing hardball thing to me is not working. I think it's going to backfire on the Jets. And look, I think you need to figure out your path, figure out who aligns with that path, and then just be aggressive at executing it. But this wishy-washy, let's just see how things play out, we'll wait till somebody else gets desperate, I don't know. I just don't think it's good. It hasn't worked out yet for the Jets. I don't think it's going to work out 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now either.
Yeah, and one last point I'll make on that. I think there's some real value in setting the trade market as a team to be making the first trade. You don't want to wait a couple more weeks and then another trade goes down and suddenly you're not getting exactly what you thought you would get for, let's say, Dylan DeMello, and you're taking a round later than you wanted originally. I think there's a lot of value in really setting the market. And I think with the Jets being first place in the division, it's better to make a trade now than when you start slowly descending down the standings, if that happens, and you're almost forced into making a panic trade where you don't necessarily get the value that you thought you would get at the beginning of the season.
It's a good point. Go out there and do something. Whatever it is, just stick to your guns and go out there and do it. I can appreciate that more so than, you know, being passive, being hesitant, and let's just see how this plays out. No, go out there and attack. It's difficult enough to try to find high-end talent to play here. If you got him, throw him in there. If you don't think he's that, let's try and find somebody that can do that. It's a shame we got to end on a bit of a bummer there, especially after a big OT win against Montreal, but that's the way the cookie crumbles when your high-end prospect demands, but not really demands, a trade out of town, demands a spot at the very least at the NHL level. But we'll see where this goes. We'll see if it plays out. We'll see if we get an answer to that by the time we come back at it for our next episode to kick off next week. But in the meantime, that will do it for today's episode, and that will do it for the week. Let's head into the weekend. Let's have some fun, everybody. But once again, thanks so much for listening to another episode of Skates and Plates right here on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, with my co-host. I guess we can call you a co-host now, with my co-host, CJOB's Tyson Rewicki. We'll get back at it on a Tuesday morning, breaking down the Winnipeg Jets home matchup a Saturday afternoon against the Chicago Blackhawks, and then look ahead to the rest of the schedule upcoming. Some big matchups against Dallas and the Calgary Flames on tap. So we'll see what unfolds for the Winnipeg Jets in the days to come. Until then, enjoy your weekend, everybody. Stay safe, have fun out there, and we'll talk to you guys on Tuesday morning. Peace.